Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, the 25th of March, 2013. Hope you had a good weekend. If you are an Arizona basketball fan, I'm sure you are very happy today. Congratulations to the Cats, who are back in the Sweet 16. Pretty easy path for the Cats so far, but won't be so easy on Thursday night with Ohio State. We are live weekdays, noon to 1, on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we post the program to three different websites, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. And what that means is you can hear the program anywhere, anytime on your schedule. We'll start today's show, as we do each Monday, with our Monday political face-off. Our commentators today, Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Then at 30 minutes past the hour, the exciting new entertainment series that is being launched at the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. Then we'll close out the show with our contributor on education, longtime educator Dr. Robert Hendricks, who says maybe not so fast in writing off a liberal arts education in favor of a science and math oriented education. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to join us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Our Monday political face-off team today, Bruce Ash, Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Paul Eckerstrom is former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, and he's also the former chair of the statewide Democratic Party. The Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Bruce and Paul, did you see any of the basketball over the weekend?
Every minute of it.
And Bruce, you...
Woohoo! I mean, these guys, they played great, and it was fun watching them. And I don't know about you, but I don't think Harvard was any pushover. Tommy Amaker has a great team. Yeah. The key to their victory so far has been defense, and they came out, it really amped up and charged up from the very first opening bell. If they play this way, again, against Ohio State, I think we have a great opportunity to make it to the Elite Eight.
And I loved the way Arizona played, but I'll tell you what, I loved watching Florida Gulf Coast. That team is fun to watch.
That's a first. And they did it also on defense, as did Kansas in their game, and most of the other guys who came on to win in the round of 32. It's defense and that transitional offense as a result. Wow, great play.
So it would be stretching it for me to say that Arizona has really lucked out with these first two opponents.
Well, I think that the pairings were very, very much in Arizona's favor. It's unfortunate, for Oregon that they were placed how they were, and for that matter, even UCLA and poor Ben Howland. You win a Pac-12 championship and you get fired 2 weeks
UCLA
later.
After
your best player on the team, hurts himself in that Arizona game, at the Pac-12 championships. Go figure.
If you're not John Wooden, you'll never live up to his legacy.
Charles Barkley said, look, there's no dynasties anymore. That's never going to happen again.
We're going to go through some local and state items, get your input on these. Steve Kasachek continues, Paul Eckerstrom, to rack up endorsements from both sides of the aisle, and he's even got an independent. Former Councilwoman Carol West is one of his co-chairs. He's got Richard Carmona, Bob Walkup, in fact, four former mayors, Volge, Miller, Walkup, and the current mayor, Jonathan Rothschild, all on board. And then today, Paul Eckerstrom, Congressman Ron Barber, announcing he's backing Kasachek and Jim Colby, former congressman.
Yeah, he's got people on both sides of the aisle supporting him. I think that bodes well for his reelection. I don't think anybody can take him on in the Democratic Party or the Republican Party in the general election. I just don't think... He's the type of guy who's independent-minded. He seems to care about what's important in terms of the city budget, and making sure during the times where things have been lean, he's been very good at targeting things that we don't need and trying to shore up things that we do need. I like the guy. I mean, he was a Republican when he first ran, but I like the guy, and I think he's I would be surprised if the Republicans put up anybody against him at this point, because he'll just win in a walk because everybody likes this guy.
What do you think? Is this pretty much over in that ward, Bruce Ash?
That's why they have elections, is to decide these contests. I'm not going to say anything nasty about Steve, because that's exactly what Steve would want me to do. Steve says that he acts in a bipartisan way, but rarely does. Look, I think Steve, in order to do his job better than what he's been doing it, has to focus primarily on two things. Number one is to restore police and fire levels to where they were prior to him coming into office. And to do that, you need to make radical restructure within the city hall. And number two is deal effectively with the growing pension problem. The city council wants to bury their heads in the sand and pretend that that problem doesn't exist. It does, and until some key decisions are made, and it doesn't have to affect anybody who's currently working within city government. It can be anybody new that comes into the program. But right now, all they're wanting to do is continuing to pay a growing amount of their annual budget toward really just keeping this old bad system in place.
And Bruce, I don't disagree with you that the pension situation is facing the city in the future. I love police and fire folks and their unions, but the pensions that they have are unbelievably lucrative, and we'll be paying through the nose, and it'll bust the budget in the future as people live longer. I think we have to face that reality, and the unions have to face that reality as well. And you're right. You can't affect the people who are in the system now, but the people that are being hired into the city should have a changed pension system to make it solvent.
Well, there will be a competitive race in the Karen Ulick race. Ben Bueller Garcia, Bruce Ash, has announced that he wants a rematch.
There will, and Ben's going to be a much better candidate than what he was 3-plus years ago. I've talked with him several times. He's beginning to put together an organization. And look, when you view Ward 3, there's not a lot of success stories that one can point to. There's lots of problems there with crime and with problems in the streets. And I think some changes are needed. And frankly, it's always good to have another perspective on the city council when it's a 7-0, ram it down kind of vote. You need to have a different perspective at the city council.
Arizona, did you have a quick comment?
Or? Well, I just think it's a different year than 2009 was. 2009 was leading into the 2010. There was a lot of discontent among the public in terms of remember, 2010 was the Republican wave, and I think that the 2009 election was an indicator of that. I think this is a different time and a different place. I think Karen will win easily because of he couldn't beat her then in a Republican year. This year, I don't think he's
nobody.
Got a chance.
Nobody can be very happy with Tucson being named as the sixth most poverty-stricken city in the entire country. There's a lack of jobs and a lack of opportunity, and all you have to do is drive your car down Grant Road or Tucson Boulevard or 22nd Street. The roads are crumbling, and we're not doing anything about it. I realize we passed $100 million sales tax, but that's just the start of it. And please don't try to blame this on the state legislature, which is always the response. They had hundreds of millions of dollars to spend on the streets, and they chose to spend it for other things in the general fund.
Bruce, what you're talking about in terms of our economic diversity in this town goes way, way, way back many, many decades, 3 decades at least, where we haven't
– Maybe longer.
And maybe longer. We haven't made decisions, and this includes Republican leadership, Democratic leadership among the business community in this town. We've just depended on development. and we haven't depended on expanding our economic diversity into other industries and haven't really set our stage for that. And it's not just this city council. It goes back decades that we haven't made these decisions to develop, one, an infrastructure base. And yes, I will blame the legislature to an extent that we don't have the education base we once had like we used to create that environment to bring in good businesses with good jobs in other areas besides building houses.
Paul, let me just point us back in the direction of the late 70s and early 80s when Democrat administrations at the city and the county decided, number one, that a company called General Instruments didn't have the right kind of jobs for Tucsonans. And we lost them, and we lost Motorola and other potential high-tech industries who wanted to locate into the west side of Tucson in industrial parks. And number two, the Butterfield Expressway, which, you know, when you look back today at what that could have been, you know, building a freeway, a crosstown freeway in the rivers, could have been a great idea. Those times have passed, and frankly, I think time may have passed by our fair city. I'm afraid to say that.
I don't think that's the case. You can always change course and start building the infrastructure and building the environment for other businesses to move here. But we've got to start doing that. And frankly, I think there's been moves in that direction. Frankly, think the anchor that's going to pull us down is we aren't funding our schools well enough, and that goes to the state legislature. If we want to attract good businesses, we need to fund our schools back to at least mediocrity, not dead last in the country.
Largest city in the United States without a freeway.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not counting the interstate now.
Yeah,
I'm talking about a freeway, not I-10.
And then, again, further Democrat administrations stopped the aviation, the Barraza Aviation Freeway before it got to downtown. It never had a chance to even hook in to Interstate 10. It's been, 20 years, and now there's going to kind of sort of be a connection. Too little, too late.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscott.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
My name is Chandler Warden from the Board of Trustees at the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. I'd like to extend a personal invitation for you to attend a concert hosted by the Desert Museum and the Oasis Project, featuring the award-winning and internationally acclaimed John Jorgensen Quintet, live at the Desert Museum Friday, April 12th and Saturday, April 13th at 6 p.m. Considered one of the best living guitar players, John Jorgensen has played with artists from Johnny Cash to Luciano Pavarotti. These Gypsy Jazz concerts will be recorded for a DVD and will feature the song you're hearing now, Sonora Spring, all to benefit the Desert Museum. To purchase tickets and find out more information, please visit oasisproject.desertmuseum.org or call 989-0901. That's oasisproject.desertmuseum.org.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Welcome back. It's the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Moe can take care of all of your picture framing and hanging needs, and he will go out, measure everything, take care of it, and then they'll come back and they'll hang everything for you. And I continue to send people to Moe, and everybody I send over there says he's the best. And he is. All right, Paul Eckerstrom, Bruce Ash, let's begin with you, Paul, on this widening rift over the governor's expanding the state Medicaid program. We had the Senate president on our program, Andy Biggs, on Friday, and he was kind of noncommittal on whether or not this thing will ever get a hearing in the Senate. What do you think?
Well, I think it should get a hearing. It should pass. The governor wants it. The reason the governor wants it is because, one, we have we've passed something in our state constitution that basically says we needed to expand Medicaid, our access program, anyway. It's not being funded to that level. This is free money that's coming from the federal government to expand it for us to our own state constitutional levels. If for 2 years it's totally free, and then from those years out, the federal government's going to pay 90% of it. It's a great deal. It is part, healthcare is part of the infrastructure for people, like education is, that creates a good business environment. If we don't get this passed, we're going to have failing hospitals in our rural communities and smaller cities, and that will be death knell for them economically. Our bigger hospitals here in Tucson and in Phoenix are struggling as well. If this doesn't happen, they're still going to be footing the bill. We'll all be footing the bill for the people who aren't covered by insurance that this would
pay
include.
Pay me now or pay me later is,
yeah,
is your
exactly.
bottom line.
And the other thing is this expansion isn't for poor people. This is for the working poor, people who have jobs, who don't qualify for Medicaid
now.
That fall through the cracks, but they're workers. They work hard. They just don't make enough money to have insurance, or their employer doesn't provide insurance.
Bruce, does this have a chance?
Let me break this down.
Break it down.
We're screwed if we do it. We're screwed if we don't. We're screwed if we don't because, as Paul said, we did pass Prop 204 some time ago that used the tobacco tax to expand the access rolls. Unfortunately, the amount of taxes that are collected from that tobacco tax are not nearly enough, so it has fallen upon the Arizona taxpayers in their entirety to pay for the bill. The problem is, if we don't do something, then the feds are going to sue us. Okay. When the feds sue us, now we're going to be in a court-enforced kind of a situation. It's not enough, I think. And I've gone on record publicly against the Medicaid expansion. But let me suggest something to you that I've had a chance to talk about with leadership over the last few days. Rather than, you know, just putting, you know, putting our arms and folding them in front of our chest and saying no, okay, what if this plan were to have the following provisos to it? Number one is that it only go as long as federal funding never go below 80%. Okay, and if it falls below 80%, we have a chance to opt out of it. Number two, Republicans and a lot of people wanted tort reform last year, and they also wanted interstate competition for health insurance. Why not, as a sweetener to this deal, and something that I think a lot of people will recognize as being beneficial to lowering costs in the healthcare cost containment area, what if we were also to add the same sort of bills as Ted Vogt introduced last year on tort reform and also had been introduced with respect to interstate competition? I think those are things that are a constructive answer to this problem that one way or another we as Arizonans have to figure out a solution for.
Let's go to Carl now on the Buckmaster Show live line, taking issue with Paul Eckerstrom, who mentioned, I believe, two words, free money. Go ahead, Carl.
Yes, you know, I have a real problem when everybody keeps talking about free money from the federal government. It's not free. It's coming from the taxpayers. That's coming from people in Arizona and from other states. And it just really, really bothers me when somebody misstates it like that. It is not free money.
Carl, you're right. I shouldn't have stated it quite that way, but it is coming from the federal government. That money is going somewhere. If it isn't going to Arizona, it's going somewhere else. And I would like us to be able to take advantage of it. And I would like to see Yuma and Sierra Vista and places like that be economically viable because they have hospitals. If they don't have hospitals, they become economically less viable. And that's an infrastructure issue.
But the issue is not about free money, and it's not necessarily on this coming from the federal government as making it a good thing. We have to figure out a way in the environment that we're currently in to avoid a federal lawsuit that is likely to happen if nothing else comes out of the legislature. And I don't think that compromise is possible without tort reform, meaningful tort reform, and also interstate competition for these either private insurance companies or these interstate health exchanges that are being set up.
I don't disagree with Bruce on the exchanges. I just have to – you have to scrutinize what's coming out in terms of tort reform because sometimes tort reform, if it's not done right – and I'm not totally against tort reform.
Use the Texas model. Use the Texas model as the example, and that's a great patient advocate law that's been passed and is in existence working very, very well.
The devils are in the details with that one.
So, Bruce, let me ask you, this session of the legislature is probably going to go on and on until this issue is resolved, right?
I don't know. The pledge was to try to get out of there by the end of April. We'll see what happens. I think the governor kind of surprised all of us when she proposed the expansion of the access system. I just don't have any way to predict how that's going to go at this time.
It's hard for a Democrat to be watching this because it's a Republican governor.
It's an unusual situation to have the Democrats aligned with the governor, governor.
I think what might happen is if leadership in the legislature actually allows us to get to the floor, you may have enough Republican votes coupled with the Democrats to get it passed.
Here's a problem, though, in terms of the votes, Bill and Paul. This is a tax increase. The hospital bed tax is effectively a tax increase, which cannot be implemented without two-thirds vote at the legislature. And I'm afraid that if that doesn't happen, if there's not two-thirds concurrence on this, there's going to be a lawsuit filed 10 seconds after that law gets signed into effect by Governor Brewer.
Well, that's probably true, although it's interesting to the interpretation of what that bed tax is it an actual tax that falls under that constitutional provision, or is it a
fee?
If
it smells like a tax and it quacks like a tax, probably it's going to be a tax.
Well, the legislature in the past—
got to run.
All right.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and his family specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. That's where I take all of my framing to have it done right, at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com.
Like them on Facebook, too.
That's right. That's right.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Afghan President Karzai says his recent remarks made officials in Washington so angry had been misinterpreted by the media. Karzai had accused the U.S. of colluding with the Taliban in order to keep Afghanistan weak. A man who plotted to attack a Seattle military complex with machine guns and grenades has been sentenced to 18 years in prison. The Libyan foreign minister says the widow of the late ruler Muammar Gaddafi and other family members have been granted asylum in Oman. And the administration of Florida's Governor Rick Scott shutting down the lieutenant governor's office, at least for now. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 95 points, the Nasdaq off 16, the S&P.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Karen, could you run to the supply closet for some trophy polish, please?
Do we have trophy polish?
Well, we better find out. See, I just called Cox Business to give our company faster internet and great phone service.
Oh, good.
They've got a J.D. Power and Associates Award, Karen, and they're going to be here any minute.
So you think they bring the award with them wherever they go?
Put it this way. If you were ranked highest in customer satisfaction, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
I just want to be prepared, Karen. I just want to be prepared.
Shine up your business with Cox Business. Ranked highest in customer satisfaction among data service providers for small and mid-sized businesses. Power your office in Phoenix with Cox Business and take advantage of our special offer. Bundle Cox Business internet and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today. It just makes sense. Visit coxbusiness.com for offer details. Offer valid until April 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Other restrictions apply. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, go to jdpower.com.
Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. The impossible is possible. Biosphere 2 embraces the complexity about the future of the planet, developing and testing sustainability strategies essential for a better life. Become part of this center that is becoming the incredible new UA Biosphere 2. See why Time Life Books named it one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, an inspiring adventure for visitors with guided behind-the-scene tours. Open daily, north of Tucson, America's Science City.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our Monday edition as we push toward 12:36. The Oasis Project, a performing arts program of the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, is hosting the legendary musician and composer John Jorgensen with his celebrated quintet for two concert events, April 12th and 13th. This is going to be a great concert at the Desert Museum's Warden Oasis Theater. The program is made possible by the Burt W. Martin Foundation. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, Chandler Warden, Vice President of the Burt W. Martin Foundation, which is dedicated to preserving the environment. Inspired by Chandler's grandfather, the Warden family support is evident all over the grounds of the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, including sponsoring the new aquarium and then this Oasis Theater. It's great to have you on the program, Chandler.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me in and sharing all these great new things happening out at the Desert Museum.
The community really owes your family a real debt of gratitude because your family has really made a commitment to making the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum probably one of the finest projects of its kind, really, in the world.
Absolutely. No arguing that, that's for sure. And, of course, the Desert Museum opened in 1952, and the museum has such a great tradition of unique and innovative learning and education out there. And now we're doing it now, taking a step further.
It's an intimate venue, this new theater.
Absolutely.
300 seats, and putting together now this concert series with John Jorgensen, who really is a legend in his field.
Absolutely. Gypsy jazz is just a very interesting music format, for sure. Gypsy jazz, also known as gypsy swing, is a style of jazz music popularized by Django Reinhardt back in the 1930s, and it is acoustic in nature with typical instrumentation, including acoustic guitar, of course, and rhythm guitar, upright bass, violin, clarinet, and percussion. So it's quite an interesting mix.
Jorgensen's one of the top living guitar players in the world. He played in Elton John's band for many years, and he's collaborated with just about every big name in the business, including Johnny Cash and Bob Dylan. He's a three-time Academy of Country Music Guitarist of the Year. This event is going to be recorded as kind of a benefit, right?
Absolutely. It all benefits the Desert Museum. And what a great way to benefit the museum in this new art form that we're taking upon at the Desert Museum, for sure. And also, it creates an opportunity for artists here in Tucson to get involved with this program. Very unique. It gives an opportunity for all artists, musicians, photographers, artists to be part of the program. And that's what's so unique about it.
How did your family get involved with the ties with the Desert Museum?
It goes a long, long, goes back a long way. In fact, back in the late 50s, 1958, I made my first visit to the Desert Museum as a summer camper at a Tancredi Ranch, as everybody knows, in the Far East Side. And I was taken by, just back then, when I was 8 years old, enjoying the Desert Museum and making my first visit to the Mountain House out there, continued going year after year after year. And then as time went by, I had an opportunity to take part in donating to the museum and becoming part of its exhibits out there. And it just went on and on. And now we're at this phase with the new theater and, of course, the aquarium, as you mentioned earlier.
How about the Oasis Project? What's the genesis of that, Chandler?
Well, the Oasis Project is, of course, a performing arts program out at the Desert Museum, designed to help and develop sustainable relationships between artists and nonprofit organizations. And of course, as you mentioned earlier, the Burt W. Martin Foundation funded this cutting-edge marketing program that brings together the art and technology, really creating a full-circle model for the future. And it's great. Creating legacy gifting, if you will, in many ways.
The Oasis Project, Chandler Warden is with us. We're talking about the upcoming concert. It's really exciting to have John Jorgensen coming. Again, as I mentioned, it's only a 300-seat venue, which I really like. I like that intimacy. The acoustics are really good out there. And this will be the first of a series of musical events?
Absolutely. In fact, we're doing two shows. April 12th, Friday, and again the following night, Saturday the 13th. We are planning right now, planning doing two events a year. Of course, the one coming up next mm-hmm. month. And then we're having another event in November.
Perfect time of year.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I was going to say, what a great time.
That'd be a great time of year for the November event. And you have not announced who the performing artist will
not
be
yet.
At this
not,
point. But you've probably got some people in mind,
we
I'm
do,
sure.
And that'll be coming up soon.
How can folks get a hold of ticket information for the upcoming concerts with John Jorgensen?
I'm glad you asked me that. There's a couple of ways to get information, Bill. One is going online at theoasisproject.desertmuseum.org. It's oasisproject.desertmuseum.org. And there's a local phone number mm-hmm. that they can call also at 989-0901.
You know, the aquarium doing very well. Folks who live in Tucson, so many times we have these events and these beautiful places in our backyard, like Biosphere 2, like the Desert Museum. But I hate to say it, but a lot of times we kind of take these venues for granted.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of times when you go out and talk to people in Tucson, all around Tucson,
And you say, when was the last time
right,
you were at the Desert Museum?
We don't want to be tourists in our own hometown.
Yeah.
But we always take people, out-of-town visitors, where do we go? The Desert Museum. That's usually the first pick. Let's head over Gates Pass and enjoy the Desert Museum.
And the aquarium is really doing very well.
Oh, my gosh. What a great story behind the aquarium. It really completes the Desert Museum's interpretation of the Sonoran Desert. For many years, since 1952, we've been only interpreting half of the Sonoran Desert. That is the Arizona part of it. The other side, of course, were the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. Now we're interpreting the other half of the Sonoran Desert in form of the aquarium representing the Sea of Cortez.
So, I mean, it really does complete the environment, because although we live in a desert, we are very close to the Sea of Cortez, and we have water is, of course, our lifeblood here in the desert. Chandler Warden, thank you very much again for ticket information. We're going to send people to the Oasis, that's OASIS, Project. www.desertmuseum.org.
That's right, exactly.
And you want to give that phone number out one more time for the concert.
Absolutely. 989-0901, 989-0901.
Should be a great evening, couple of great evenings coming up with the legendary guitarist, Mr. Jorgensen, John Jorgensen coming, and that is going to be April 12th and 13th at the Desert Museum's Warden Oasis Theater. We strongly urge people go out and support this project. Thanks a lot, Chandler.
Bill, thanks so much.
All right, coming up now on 12:44 on the Buckmaster Show, we will be right back. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:49. If you're looking for a great weekend getaway this Easter, it's Easter weekend coming up, consider the arts and recreation-oriented historic community of Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. So much to do. It's a great time of year. Everything's greened up over there in the mountains. Great place to take a hike or visit the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Plenty of places to stay, really good places to stay. Fayetteville Hot Springs Resort is nice, as is Georgetown Cabins and Gila Hot Springs Ranch. You can check out more at Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. Well, the push continues in education for a greater focus on areas of math and science. No doubt these areas are very important, but are they worth sacrificing a good liberal arts education? We're going to explore that for a few minutes on the Buckmaster Show with our contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education, where he's the former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice. He's taught organizational theory, human resource management, and policy at the master's and doctor level. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, and he is a one-time named one-time Arizona School Superintendent of the Year. Bob, how are you, Dr. Hendricks?
I'm doing well, Bill.
You know, it was a very interesting article in USA Today about that we put so much emphasis now that we believe by putting more into the math and sciences, we're going to really solve our education problems in this country.
Well, that's the emphasis. And the acronym that I'm going to use is STEM, which represents science, technology, engineering, and math. And we've caught the STEM hysteria here in Arizona as well. And I certainly applaud those in the community, the Arizona community, who say we need to put more emphasis on science and math because our scores are not where they need to be. They're dismal compared to international comparisons. But do we want to throw the baby out with the bath? And here's the issue. We really have swung from a kind of a shopping mall mentality where we've offered everything to students to a more narrowed focus in science and math. But we want to be sure we don't forget the arts. And unfortunately, with the budget cuts that school districts have been experiencing and the increased pressure for high scores in math and reading, our arts curriculum is suffering. And the evidence of that is the number of high schools who've had to cut back on their offerings in the arts, those arts that tend to promote creativity. And, you know, I'm thinking to the last segment that you had and mm-hmm. the wonderful work that the Arizona Desert Museum is doing.
What a great educational resource.
Promoting the arts.
Yeah. And now with this new arts series, with the Oasis series, it's a very, they're looking at a very kind of well-rounded program of education, and that's where the arts fit in, I think.
Correct. And that's, you know, that's the curriculum that I think we should really strive for. One that emphasizes creativity. And there's an interesting argument for that. There was a study done by Michigan State in 2008 in which they looked at the Nobel laureates in the sciences. And these laureates had a 22-time opportunity compared to general scientists of actually having experiences in the arts because they found that their involvement in the performing arts really gave them that other side of the brain. You know, we have this one, the cognitive side of the brain and the creative side of the brain. And, you know, experts will tell you that a fully developed, productive individual will have both.
Kind of the yin and yang
exactly.
of the brain. And remember, Steve Jobs learned from his, calligraphy class.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
So, I mean, it wasn't all just about developing computers.
Right. And when you think about, and Steve Jobs is one of the examples that mm-hmm. is given in an argument that creativity needs to have a forefront. When you think of his success in the computer industry, it was more about it was much about technology as it was thinking outside the box as to what should the delivery model be for the products he was developing.
Dr. Robert Hendricks with us. He joins us once a month here on the Buckmaster Show, and we talk about education. And of course, we could probably bring you on every day to talk about education.
Always something.
So much going on. There was a front page piece today in the Star about what was that? Your feeling on that?
Well, it's really an issue of equity and
yes.
The current legislative action to reward high performing schools. Who tend to be, and this is a fact, it tends to be schools that are in communities that have higher socioeconomic income. And a suggestion is that those schools and those school districts be rewarded by increased incentives in their budget, and that schools that are not doing as well, which tend to be in lower socioeconomic districts, by default have some penalty assigned.
That could kind of just widen, though, the gap of the have and the have-nots in education,
yeah,
couldn't it?
Yeah, it's an interesting argument. The reality is that schools that do well are shortchanged in some ways. The ideal would be that they should get more money to do the kinds of things that they feel that they could do with students who are highly productive. The same token, students that that are in schools that are not necessarily in the luck of the draw shouldn't be disadvantaged as a result of having a less productive budget.
We had Calvin Baker, who I know you know,
yes.
the superintendent of the Vail School District, was with us last week here on the Buckmaster Show, and I asked him when we were talking about his district being right next door to a low-performing district and a huge district like TUSD. And what role does size play? It's got to be a factor, the school district size.
Organization, I would argue that size does make a difference. I mean, and you look at large school districts per se, they've done all kinds of things to try to reorganize and decentralize. But ultimately, the communication tends to be somewhat of an issue. The being really close to what's happening from the leadership perspective is a difficult thing. So, my bias is to have smaller organizational units because I think you can be much more effective in making positive change.
And your district, Flowing Wells, is a smaller district.
It is. And as I said, my bias is I'm very comfortable with that mm-hmm. because I felt like we could make changes because the community, both the external community and the internal community, was small enough that we could communicate and roll up our sleeves and work together and make progress without feeling that there was so much out there that it was impossible to capture things for progress.
And Mr. Baker talked about an interesting thing. I brought up the fact about extending the school year, and he says they don't give you really more class days. They just break the calendar up in a different way, something we've talked about on this program.
It's basically rearranging the chairs on the ship's deck.
Yeah, but that's been very successful for them. I guess they're
exactly.
in school in July even.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Dr. Robert Hendricks, thank you very much. Bob Hendricks, our contributor on education. Always a lot to talk about here on the Buckmaster Show on the educational front. Thanks for being with us, and we'll look forward to visiting with you in April.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan. Culligan offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Want to publicly thank Culligan. They are kind enough to provide to all of our in-studio guests a bottle of their fine water, Culligan water. It just simply tastes better. Actually, we're going to be talking a little bit about education tomorrow as well on the Buckmaster Show. This will be higher education and tuition at the university level as we talk with Rick Myers. Mr. Myers is the chairman of the Arizona Board of Regents. Also tomorrow, Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner. David Modier, head of the Central Arizona Project, will be with us, and we'll talk about Valley Fever. Is there indeed a Valley Fever epidemic here in Southern Arizona? Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show from 3 to 5. Then tomorrow, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe from 6 to 8. I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a very great afternoon, and we'll be back with you tomorrow with our Tuesday edition of Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.